Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to an Adept English podcast designed to help you learn to speak English fluently. I love the English language, and I help hundreds of thousands of listeners speak English every month. Listen to this podcast today and see how your fluency improves. Hi, and welcome to this latest podcast from Adept English. At the time of writing this podcast, we've just heard that His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, has died on Friday, 9th of April. It probably depends upon which country you live in, how much news coverage you've heard about this, and how many tributes there are. A tribute, T-R-I-B-U-T-E, is an acknowledgement of admiration, of gratitude. And we say when someone has died that we pay tribute to them. So the death of Prince Philip is big news in the UK and around the world. The Queen must be very sad to lose her husband of 73 years. Can you imagine being married to someone for 73 years? Prince Philip was 99 years old when he died, and just 2 months off his 100th birthday. The fact that he was 99 years old and the Queen is 94 years old is also a tribute in part to good medical care that they no doubt receive. And the news and the papers are full of all the things he did. It's strange, we're currently watching the Netflix series The Crown at the moment. And just the day before Prince Philip died, we watched the episode about the moon landings in 1969 and the interest Prince Philip took in this and his crisis of religious faith too. So even though I'm not really a royalist at heart, it felt very pertinent that we'd just watch this. A royalist, R-O-Y-A-L-I-S-T, means a supporter of the royal family. I'm not really a republican either though, I'm somewhere in between. But Prince Philip's death certainly seems like the end of an era, and I feel really sorry for the Queen losing her husband. I respect their longevity and their public service. Also in the news in the UK, there is much debate about when can we go abroad again? When can we travel? Abroad, A-B-R-O-A-D, means to other countries. One of the things that we've all missed most in the pandemic is being able to travel, especially in the cold UK over the winter. And people have set their sights on the summer this year and the possibility of a holiday. What a treat it would be to sit in a cafe or on a beach somewhere else in the world. And we'll appreciate the luxury of being able to do that, I think, when the time comes. Part of my incentive, I've not seen my family in France since last summer, so it would be really nice to travel there. But actually, I've not seen my family in the UK either for over a year, so I'm certainly due a couple of UK trips away too. But you are not allowed to travel just yet, or stay overnight in someone else's house, or in a hotel. And currently in the UK, there is a £5,000 fine if you travel abroad without good reason. Ouch, that's expensive. So the unlocking in the UK has started. 6 people can now meet outdoors, and this week, non-essential shops, gyms, hairdressers, pubs and restaurants can open, although only serving people who are sitting outside. There's going to be a big queue of people wanting haircuts. I will be one of them. By the 17th of May, all being well, things loosen up some more. 6 people can meet indoors. Pubs and restaurants can serve food indoors to people, and you can stay overnight at someone's house again. And the plan is by the 21st of June, things go back more or less to normal. Let's see about that. I know that in some parts of Europe and South America, the pandemic situation is really not very good at all at the moment. So I'm not sure whether the UK will go ahead with opening up in the way that's planned, but let's see. As far as travel to other countries is concerned, From mid-April, people in England have been allowed to take holidays in England, and people in Wales have been allowed to take holidays in Wales. But we can't cross the border, and holidays must be taken in what's called self-contained accommodation. That means an Airbnb, where you have access to the whole place, or a holiday cottage where it's just you and the people you came with. You can't yet stay in a hotel where you would be in contact with other people, so they're not open till mid-May. So for many people, taking their holiday in the UK rather than abroad will be the only option this summer. The government here are introducing a red, amber, green system. So depending upon which country you're travelling to and from, your travel will be classed as red, amber, green, rather like a traffic light system. Red means stop, amber means be careful, and green means go. At the very least, if you're travelling to a green country, you will have to have a COVID-19 test and isolate if it's positive. For an amber country, where infection rates are higher, you'll need a test and to self-isolate in your home for 10 days. And if you're returning from a red country, where infection rates are even higher, you'll need to be tested and do a hotel quarantine, rather like the system they've been operating in New Zealand and Australia. This means that your stay in isolation is managed and monitored. The authorities will ensure that you follow the rules, and you'll have to pay the bill for your hotel stay. The list of countries, though, with their green, amber, and red colours, has yet to be released. So it's quite difficult to book a holiday without knowing what level of restriction you're going to have to work with. I can see people for whom foreign travel is essential, for their work or for other reasons. I have a friend, for example, who is working in Switzerland at the moment, and she's having to do all of this whenever she wants to return to the UK to see her family. But it's difficult imagining people just doing all this for a summer holiday. The tests have to be done in order to travel and to be allowed back into the country, and these are PCR tests. So those are the ones that have to go to a lab, a laboratory, to get the result. They're much more expensive than the so-called lateral flow tests, the ones which the school children are using. Given that PCR tests cost upwards of £120 each, that's another rather off-putting factor if you're looking at foreign travel. So I'm sorry to say, for most people, foreign travel is a pleasure which we're all going to have to wait a while longer for, even if the UK and other countries unlock by the summer. And depending upon which country you're in, your situation may be similar, or you may feel a long, long way from wanting to even think about foreign travel if your country is one of the ones which is not having great statistics around the pandemic at the moment. Just finishing off with a word about our 500 Most Common Words course. If you enjoy the podcasts but find them quite challenging, quite difficult, and especially if you have to look up lots of words to understand the podcasts, you may benefit from our new improved Most Common 500 Words course. This course is designed to help people get really comfortable with the most frequently used words in English. It helps fluency in that it builds your confidence in speaking, because you have all these words, all this really common vocabulary, and you can therefore speak simple sentences in English without thinking about it. The course also helps your comprehension and your understanding. You can just then focus on the more unusual vocabulary that you may need. Have a look on our website for the course at adeptenglish.com. Anyway, I hope your travel plans are going okay and that you're managing all right in the pandemic, whatever the situation in your country. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. That's the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You can listen to hundreds more podcasts and learn more about our approach to language learning with our free English language course, available at adeptenglish.com. If you're serious about your English language learning, and you want to go further and progress faster, we have English courses ready to download at adeptenglish.com today.